masks are coming up. Oh, goodness. Hi.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not there with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.
Good morning, again. You get me again. Good morning to everybody, and Pastor Cindy's with her family in Chadron celebrating Emma's graduation from college. And I'm Leah Donoso, and I'm the Director of Family Ministry here. I'm excited to be able to get to start our new sermon series with you. It's called Five Secrets. So from today until June 2nd, we're going to explore powerful stories of transformation from the Gospels and Acts of the Apostles. We are also going to discover five kingdom secrets to living and dying well, based on the book, The Five Secrets You Must Discover Before You Die, by Dr. John Izzo. Allow the good news of Jesus Christ to inspire us and to live our best lives. In that spirit, please join me in prayer. Almighty God, open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our eyes that we may see your glory in our midst. And open our hearts that we might know your Spirit's presence with us in these moments. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So does anybody remember the easy button from the office supply store Staples? Yeah. The commercials promised that the orders and the returns at their store would be easy, as the easy button reminded everyone.
That was easy.
Right? And I remember thinking, I could use an easy button for laundry, cleaning. There's several things I could use the easy button for. But we're all looking to make our lives easier, right? What about the infomercials and the promise that your life will be changed by their products? Or the kits with everything you need to change in 3 easy steps? The world wants to sell us quick fixes and make our lives easier. Graduates and parents, I'm sure getting to this stage of your life was not accomplished without hard work. There was no easy button, but I'm sure we all wish that there was an easy button to help us live our best lives with ease. But what if we could uncover the secrets to a happy life and make our journey here on earth and our faith lives easier? I'm sure we'd say, sign me up. From the time that he was a little boy, Dr. John Izzo, the author of The Five Secrets, wanted to know the secrets to living well and dying happy. Dr. Izzo and his staff sought out extraordinary people from all walks of life between the ages of 59 and 105 and asked the question, what must we discover about life before we die? He discovered that there are indeed secrets to life that all happy and wise people eventually discover and live out. The "before you die" part of the title and his question reminds us that there's an urgency for us to discover what really matters. But the truth is that we can discover these secrets anytime in our lives, and the sooner we do, the more fulfilling our lives can be. Graduates, this is good news. As you graduate and begin a new chapter in your lives, this is our wish for you, that you can discover the secrets of living a fulfilled life. The first secret is be true to yourself. That means following your heart, knowing who you are, and why you're here, and what matters to you. At first, as Christians, we might feel that be true to yourself sounds a bit selfish, maybe. The world tells us we can be selfish. We are taught to put others first, serve, and be selfless. But I think it's different than that. You can still be true to yourself, being who God created you to be, and still serve and care for others. In fact, when you are true to yourself, remembering who you are in God's eyes and your unique gifts and calling, you can better serve and care for others. Graduates, you've been making lots of decisions about what you want to do after graduation. And I know that you have big aspirations and goals. You inspire me. You have worked hard and are mapping out your future in bold ways, and I'm so proud of you. When I graduated from high school, my plan was to go to Midland University as a pharmacy major. Growing up, my parents, who were both teachers, kept telling me, don't be a teacher. You'll never make any money. So, plus, most of my friends were going into pre-med, and so I felt like that'd be a good choice for me. The summer after I graduated, before I went to college, I worked for the Tiny Tots program in Fremont, a summer program at the city parks for preschoolers. And I loved that job. It didn't really feel like work. In his book, Dr. John Izzo talks about things that leave you a good tired. And my Tiny Tots days were good tired days. But I still headed off to college to become a pharmacist. One of the classes in my first semester at Midland was chemistry. And after the first week of chemistry, I realized that I did not like chemistry at all. And it was a basic class that was essential for being a pharmacist. I didn't understand it, and I was frustrated. In the midst of my frustration and lots of tears, I remembered how I felt when I worked with the preschoolers that summer and thought, I want to be a teacher. So I dropped chemistry, enrolled in education classes, and told my parents that I didn't care how much money teachers made. I was supposed to be a teacher. I was following my heart. And as I continued to follow my heart and a calling to ministry, it led me to Faith Westwood, where following my heart, working with children, and working in ministry collided, and the rest is history. God designed each of us to be unique. We have different personalities, gifts, and callings. The confirmands learned about their spiritual gifts and where they are called to serve in our faith family. And Jesus chose 12 disciples who were thought to be in their late teens or early 20s, even though they're often portrayed as much older, to follow him. They each had their own personalities, gifts, and callings, and I'm sure each of them had their own little quirks that could drive each other crazy. But Jesus knew that they were made that way, and he worked through them to prepare them to go out and teach others about him. In today's scripture, after his resurrection, Jesus appears to the apostles, who are hiding out together with the doors locked for what the Bible says is fear of the Jews. Thomas was not with them when Jesus appeared to them the first time. We don't know where he was, maybe out shopping, I don't know. But when he got back, the others told him that Jesus was alive and that he had appeared to them in that very room. I'm sure Thomas was shocked and may have thought that they were crazy or seeing things or who knows what. So he said, if I don't see the mark of the nail in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. This is where Thomas gets a bad rap, often called doubting Thomas, because of this reaction. But if we look at who Thomas really was and his unique God-given personality and gifts, we could say that Thomas was just being Thomas, true to who he was and behaving exactly how God created him. In fact, he was not the only apostle to ever show doubt as they followed Jesus. John MacArthur describes Thomas as loyal but pessimistic. I'm sure Thomas had lots of questions to go along with his doubts. It's okay to ask questions to uncover the truth, and when the questions lead to answers that are accepted, then it can be considered healthy doubt, which can strengthen and grow your beliefs, your faith, and your trust. And that's how Thomas worked. Jesus knew that. So when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the same room a week later, he lovingly repeats to Thomas the words he had stated the week before. And I bet Thomas was kind of thinking, oh, oops, you heard that? Jesus then invites him to put his finger on his hands and to reach out and put his hand in his side. He tells him to stop doubting and believe. And what followed is one of the most powerful confessions of faith. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." This is the first time someone has acknowledged that Jesus is God. They've called him the Son of God, but Thomas, after finding and accepting the answers he needed, calls him my God. He didn't let pride get in his way and continue to doubt. Thomas didn't let doubt be the end of his story. He let the answers he searched for, because of his doubts, grow his faith. Jesus used Thomas's doubts to grow him as an apostle, preparing him for what they were going to do moving forward. Graduates, it's good to seek the truth and to ask the hard questions. You will grow in your faith when you are true to your heart and pursue a relationship with Jesus in the way that works best for you. How do you seek knowledge and truth? Do you read, research, ask questions, listen to others? Go with that. Even John Wesley doubted his faith, and he's the father of Methodism. He learned that if he preached faith till he had faith, then he would preach faith. And the confirmands last week talked about putting in the work to reach our goals and grow. This applies to our faith too. Wouldn't it have been amazing to see Jesus and to witness what the apostles did? Can you imagine how your faith would grow knowing what we know now? But Jesus also told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Faith has always been about believing without seeing. Faith is also a way of being true to ourselves, having hope and building trust as we pursue a relationship with Jesus. Our faith grows as we experience God's love through relationships and as we continue to learn about God by reading the Bible. Faith is believing that God only wants the best for us. He wants us to be happy and grow our minds and spirit to be the person He created us to be. So being true to ourselves includes our faith. As we follow our hearts, discovering the things that bring joy to our lives and that really matter to us, we can see God's hand on our lives too. Being true to ourselves means glorifying God in what we do and how we live by loving God and loving others. Being true to yourself is not always easy, though. We will be tested, and the world will tell us what we should do and want to truly be happy. If everything was as the easy button says, we would miss out on opportunities to learn and grow. Graduates, you will be tested in the world. You may get distracted by other things, and people may try to tell you what will really make you happy. But always remember who you are and whose you are. Be true to yourself and follow your heart. God is always with you, and you have a firm foundation that will never go away. And you also have a faith family who is here for you, cheering you on and praying for you. When we are tested, remembering who we are and whose we are is essential. This was even true for the apostles. Jesus had tried to prepare them for this before his death. And when he appeared to them after his resurrection, he needed to prepare them for what came next. Their purpose and their calling did not end with Jesus' death. They were going to need to be bold and courageous as they were being sent out into the world to share the good news about Jesus, live out their faith, and be true to themselves. As a faith family, we are called to be true to ourselves as well. Being true to ourselves means living out our mission to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Our values reflect what being true to ourselves is all about. We are generational, relational, practical, invitational, and missional. We were created to worship and to pass our faith on to our children. When God sent Moses to ask Pharaoh to let my people go, the goal was not to go be free, but instead go to the mountain to worship God. It was a spiritual freedom for the Israelites, being true to themselves and who God created them to be. And God's family has always been generational. In Deuteronomy 6, after they've left Egypt, Moses tells all of Israel God's instructions for living out their faith, being true to themselves. They are to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that these commandments are to be on their hearts. Then Deuteronomy 6:7 says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. As a faith family, we can show and teach our children how to follow God through worship. In line with that, this summer, we are having a Connecting Hearts Summer. Connecting Hearts has been a prayer opportunity for several years, where you can take a card and with a child or student's name on it and pray for them. So for a few months, Pastor Cindy and I have been talking about and praying about and discussing how we could expand on Connecting Hearts. We felt a Connecting Hearts Summer would be a great opportunity to be true to our values and connect us to one another, generationally and practically through worship. It's relational, invitational, and missional as well. We will be connecting hearts this summer through worship as one big faith family, learning and growing together, focusing on connecting hearts with God, with one another, and with worship. So what does that look like? This summer, all ages will worship together, which means no Sunday school, but we'll still have nursery for birth through and including the three-year-olds. We'll still have the activity bags with the children's bulletin in it and age-appropriate church sermon notes, which encourage our children to participate in all the aspects of worship. In July and August, there's going to be two concurrent sermon series going on, one for each service. The 9 o'clock will explore the neglected voices of lesser-known Bible characters, and 10:45 will explore the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, focusing on learning about the elements of worship for families. God designed the family to be the primary disciplers of their children and for the church to support and come alongside them, which includes the whole faith family. The Israelites and the first church were all one big family. God's family is not defined by blood. We are all adopted children of God. The Israelites and the first church helped one another out, taking care of and teaching the children and worshiping together. So when we talk about focusing on families in worship, it means our whole faith family. We are never done learning and growing in our faith journey. We will also have the opportunity to learn from one another and explore our faith from a generational perspective, learning to be true to ourselves as a faith family. I am really excited about what God has planned for this Connecting Hearts Summer and how it leads us into a fall season with several new opportunities for us to come together as a faith family as well, including the Alpha class, and on Wednesday nights now we will be offering a meal for our faith family too. So while there's no easy button in life, we can experience the love, joy, and happiness that comes when we are true to who God created us to be, both personally and as a faith family. And when we are tested or tempted by the world, we can rely on Jesus to be a consistent and constant source of peace in our lives, encouraging us to be true to who we are in Him. Another way that we live out being true to ourselves as a faith family is celebrating milestones for our children and students. And today is a big milestone for our graduates, the seniors. Graduates, we want to celebrate you and your family today. And so there is a video that gives you a glimpse of some of our graduates.
Good morning, Faith Westwood United Methodist Church, and greeting to all of our guests today, and a special greeting to all of our high school graduates. My name is Reverend Cindy Stewart, and I am celebrating with my daughter Emma as she graduated from Chadron State College. So I'm just wanting to wish you well, inviting you to remember what God has done in your life and what God is going to continue to do in your life through Jesus Christ. May your faith continue to grow, and may you be blessed. Grace and peace be with you. See you later. Thank you.
Helps if you turn the mic on, huh? All right, come on, you stand over here. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves, just say your name and where you're graduating from. Pass it down.
My name is Sophia Robbins Palmer, and I'm graduating from Millard South High School.
My name is Nathaniel Pittman, and I'm graduating from Platteview High School in Springfield.
My name is Maddie, and I'm graduating from Millard West.
My name is Landon, and I'm graduating from Millard North.
All right. Congratulations. And parents, congratulations. You've done good. And now it's time for your Moses in the basket moment, sending them out into the world. And you may be full of fear, and at the same time, you trust that God has a plan for your baby. God loves your child more than anyone else ever can, and he will go before them and behind them. Also, please know that your faith family is behind you, supporting you, and praying for you. We're all in this together. And graduates, I am so proud of each one of you. Like I said before, reading about what you want to do in your life is inspiring. I've watched several of you grow from second graders to seniors, and it's been a joy and a blessing to be a part of your lives. And now as you graduate, my words to you are, go be great. And always remember that Jesus loves you more than anybody else ever could. And that you have a faith family here cheering you on and praying for you all the time. We love you all so much, and we are all so very proud of you. Right? And we have a present, a gift for you. I pray that this blanket will wrap you up and keep you warm. And when you're using this blanket, that you'll remember your faith family and how much we love you. There you go. Thank you, Larissa. All right. So let's pray. Awesome God, we pray along with all of those who are celebrating milestones this week, birthdays, anniversaries, graduations from high school and from college. And we pray again for those who have been impacted by the storms and tornadoes in our areas, in our state. Lord, we lift up your grace and mercy over them, and we just pray for protection. And we pray all of this in the name of the one who taught his disciples a family prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up, graduates.